One of the most difficult things about being a teacher, a leader, entertainer, or even the host of a podcast show is that you tend to feel like you have to uphold this position that everything is always roses and butterflies in your world. And I think especially when you're giving out advice about spirituality or growth or self-development, this is particularly true. And you can see all over the place that people that have this kind of responsibility, that feel like they have to maintain face, tend to fall apart really hard. I mean, last year, Robin Williams committed suicide. And I, just like most of the world, I just assumed he was the happiest guy on earth. And that was absolutely shocking to me and absolutely shocking to the rest of the world. But the truth, the real truth, is that everyone has struggles. Everyone is working through challenges. Everyone feels lost sometimes. At some point, everyone hits a wall and wants to give up. And that goes for you. That goes for Tony Robbins. That goes for Eckhart Tolle. That goes for Tim Ferriss, Barack Obama, the Dalai Lama, everybody. And obviously, that means it goes for me too. I personally have been taking a little bit of a hiatus for a few months to sort through some of my own spiritual and emotional and self-development practice challenges. And I decided that instead of sweeping my problems under the rug or hiding all my challenges, instead, why don't I just share it with you? I feel like I actually owe it to you guys to be the most honest and authentic version of myself. So in this episode, I'm going to share with you some of the intense challenges I've been working through and some of the insights and solutions that I've come up with in this last couple months. And I'm hoping that it will help you guys break through that wall if you've hit a wall or if you feel like you're really stuck or lost. So I'm really excited about this episode. I'm really excited to be back on the mic. The Authentic Man Podcast, Episode 9. Stay tuned.
I see my path.
I see my path.
I stand in integrity.
My life has purpose, meaning.
Adversity gives me strength.
Adversity gives me strength.
I am a warrior, a lover.
A leader.
A leader.
I am.
I am.
I am.
I am.
A man.
The Authentic Man Podcast. Redefining modern masculinity.
So first off, I want to say that I've been getting some incredible emails from listeners, people checking in, and they're just so nice and so amazing, saying thank you for all the information that I've been sharing, and a lot of people sharing their stories with me, and everyone's been so supportive, and a lot of people asking about when the next episodes are coming out, and I really, really appreciate everyone's patience. For the last few months, I've been personally faced with a lot of situations that have been challenging how deeply ingrained my spiritual, my emotional, and my self-development practices really are. And that also means that my challenges have pulled up a lot of my deep conditioning, my negative beliefs, different emotional barriers that, you know, sometimes cloud my ability to use a lot of the tools that I talk about on here. And I began to realize that sometimes, even though the concepts like masculine, feminine dynamics and mindfulness, awareness, etc., while these can seem really simple in concept, while it's really easy for me to just talk about them, sometimes in practice, they can be seemingly impossible. And I learned that that's true even for me. But fortunately, I always pay a lot of attention, and I have been paying attention over the last few months to my own behavior and my own reactions, my reactions to stress and challenges. And I've been paying attention to what happens when I do and when I don't follow my own advice. And from that, I have some really excellent insights to share. So first and foremost, if we're just going to be talking today about facing intense challenges or feeling paralyzed like you hit a wall, I think that first I just want to share a very general idea. And that is that the best remedy for this and the best remedy for any challenge that you face is preparation. So when you know what to look for, like what's going to be flying at your face, you won't get blindsided and completely knocked on your ass all the time. You know, I've noticed that a lot of people will teach and talk about all kinds of techniques and tools for self-development, but they tend to always want to leave out the part about you having to stress test every single technique that they teach. You know, and a lot of times I think this is because it's just a much sexier marketing strategy to sell you your ultimate dream of being this super advanced human rather than telling you how incredibly hard it's going to be sometimes. So I'm going to share a few different self-development pitfalls that you can begin to look for, some things that I've discovered. And hopefully this will prevent you from hitting that point where your challenges just simply cripple you and you feel lost or confused or abandoned or angry or even feel betrayed by your teachers or by the techniques themselves. And if you're in that place now, then hopefully this will give you a little perspective on where you're at in a bigger picture, in a larger scope of your journey. And hopefully that'll shed a little light for you, like a little light at the end of the tunnel.
This one of these low down blues, cut deep, well, late in the wee hour of the night. You know what I'm talking about, dear. Well, I tell all you waking men, please take advice from me. Save your money and buy you some good clothes. Let these crooked women go. Yeah, they'll meet you at the bell gong. They will drink up your last dime. So you haven't bought a fame, but...
Whoa, boy. The first pitfall. Recognize that you're on the roller coaster. So no matter what anyone promises you, there's always going to be ups and there's always going to be downs. There's going to be times when you're completely flying. You're like a freight train of positivity and you're just crapping out rainbows and butterflies everywhere you go. And there's going to be times where you feel like you're just so buried in your problems that you really feel like you're drowning, like you can't see past them. So this is definitely not a time to lose faith in your practices. And that's probably what your brain's going to tell you to want to do, is just give up and turn your back on the practices. But this is not the place to do that. Because this place where things are getting really, really tough is actually that time that reinforces, that strengthens your character. And the practices are what helps do that. It's like, you know, like making a sword. They heat up the molten metal. And when it's at its most hottest, when it's at its most stressful point, that's when it's most pliable. That's when they do all the shaping and it's just beaten into submission and it's plunged into a cold bath. And when it finally cools off hardened and stronger. So when you make it through those low points, those really hard times, if you allow yourself to be pliable, to have a more pliable mind, if you spend some time like really trying to just look for the signs, look for the lessons, to be more open to being taught by life or by people around you, and to really be open to change, then you will actually come out hardened when things tend to cool off. The other thing that's really important to realize about, you know, being on this roller coaster, that there's good times and that there's going to be bad times, is that usually those low parts, those hang on until we realize that we're hanging on to something. Usually it's a really firm ideal or a belief, something that we're really, really attached to. And those low times, the valleys, we're in those lots of times to help us get through something. And a lot of times it has to do with what you're holding on to. And they'll just get worse and worse and worse until you finally realize there's just something you just need to let go of. And like I said, look for ideals and beliefs. It's not always so much a physical thing like a relationship or a person. It's usually something deeper inside of you. And when you do let go of that thing, you'll see that you start that upswing with even more momentum. The next pitfall I want to talk about is expecting instant results from your self-development teachers or books or the tools. I've gotten a few emails from different people, and I've heard this from a lot of other people in my life. When people say they feel lost and because they tried a technique or they read some book or they went to some seminar and they started to do these things, but then it just didn't pan out for them. They still feel lost after doing this stuff. You know, the self-development industry is a $10 billion a year industry. And like I mentioned before, it didn't get that profitable because people were promising you that you'd be on a roller coaster of emotions all the time. they promise you that you're going to have a good life, that you're going to get clarity and balance and joy and wealth and abundance. But the truth is that self-development, it's a lot more like something like working out or like weightlifting or bodybuilding or something like that. If you want to get that like buff beach body, you have to go to the gym over and over and over again. You know, with weightlifting, there was a good metaphor once that I heard that every time you go to the gym, every time you work out, it's like you're putting a sheet of paper, a single sheet of paper on a stack. So the one workout isn't so noticeable really, but over time you get like this big stack of paper. And it's true for weightlifting, if any of you work out and you understand that. And it's true for self-development. Self-development's the same way. Every single day you have opportunities to practice all those tools that you're learning. And whether you succeed or fail, it doesn't really matter. You're always adding another sheet to the stack, and it's lifting up your emotional and your spiritual or your financial self. And as the stack grows, you get a higher and higher perspective to look from. So keep in mind that just because you learn a new tool or you learn something about yourself or you find a cool quote in a book that it feels like it changes you, you're not just going to instantly be all buff and walking around. It takes some time. I personally got this lesson shoved in my face super hard over the last few months. I was taking a hike a few weeks ago, and I was hiking up this really amazing mountain by where I live. And it was a pretty steep hike, and there were all these switchbacks. So, you know, you're going one way and you got to turn the other way. And at every single switchback, about halfway up, there was a shortcut. So you could just kind of cut almost straight up the mountain. And I decided that after looking at one or two of them and thinking, man, this is really hard, it's really hot out, maybe I should take some of these shortcuts, I decided, wait, I went there to like exercise and to take some time out in nature. There's no real point in me like cutting my time short just by like trying to get to the top so super fast. And I had this amazing realization that shortcuts, they don't only cut your time, but they cut your experience too. And that's true in all aspects of life. You need that experience. And it doesn't mean that you have to work harder than you need to, but it does mean that you don't take a shortcut simply because something's just hard.
A little Indian brave who, before he was 10, played war games in the woods with his Indian friends. And he built a dream that when he grew up, he would be a fearless warrior, Indian chief. Many moons passed, and more the dream grew stronger. Till tomorrow he would sing his first war song and fight his first battle. But something went wrong. Surprise attack killed him in his sleep that night. And so castles made of sand melts into the sea. Eventually.
The next pitfall I want to talk about is that the tools you learn are relative to your environment. You know, it's really easy. If you're at a seminar with like 200 to 300 people, it's so easy to get swept up in the excitement and the energy of the event and feel like you just leveled up your self-development practice by 50 or 100 times. I mean, sometimes that even happens after you read a good book or a blog post or something. But then as you settle back into your real life, all those challenges and all those problems and self-doubt, negative thought patterns, they always seem to seep back in. So if you could live your whole life inside of a seminar, that would be great. Or, you know, if you were like a monk and you could just live in a cave the whole time and not be exposed to the rest of life, you know, that would make your self-development practice relatively easy. But we all live in a real life. You know, there's a really, really, really great book I want to talk about. It's called The Autobiography of a Tibetan Monk by Paulden Gyatso. I think I'm saying that right. My Tibetan is pretty rusty. Well, Paulden Gyatso was a monk. He lived in a Tibetan village and he grew up in the 30s and 40s. And he became a monk when I think he was 18. And in 1950, when the communist China regime took over Tibet, they started imprisoning monks and the Tibetan people, and they were putting everyone in these camps and prisons. And in the late 60s, he was captured and forced into a prison where he subsequently stayed for 25 years. And he underwent torture and interrogation, and they attempted brainwashing him. And we sort of believe that monks have it all figured out. And he talks a lot about how hard it was to keep his beliefs and practices in place. You know, he was facing such atrocious life situations, and he talked about being angry and feeling violent, but always trying to center it back down into his practices and remain in his integrity. Man, it's a really incredibly powerful book. I'll put a link up on the site under this podcast episode. So check out the site, theauthenticman.net. I'll put a link up there for the book for you guys. So this is really where the idea of stress testing comes in. I think the way you could look at self-development is you have like an initial consumption phase where you're first being introduced to a certain technique. And then you move on to the testing phase where you actually have to go into life and you have to put into practice and you have to expect that you're going to fail sometimes. And then I think eventually you move on to more of an integration phase where it really starts becoming part of your character. So I have a really good example of this. So the last episode was about dating and relationships. And since then, I entered into a really serious relationship. And while I was dating, I mean, I was having a blast because I kind of felt like I had a stacked deck. You know, I had this really good grasp on masculine, feminine polarity and dynamics. And I could really bring this really decisive and, you know, ultra masculine version of myself to the table. And none of it was really fake per se. It just wasn't inherently deep because when you're getting to know somebody, you haven't really like let them in too far. We like to say you don't give them a very high clearance level right at first. But then I entered into this really serious relationship. And when all the surface levels started to shed off and we started to get really deep with each other, I realized it became much, much harder to hide all my deep conditioning and to hide all my automatic negative reactions to things with my pet peeves and my emotional triggers and all that kind of stuff. So I couldn't simply impress my girlfriend with my super decisive ability to pick a place to go out for dinner because she could really start to see the deeper holes in my masculine core. And of course, she reacted accordingly because the feminine in her simply can't help to react to that. Her feminine is in the moment and it just feels the energy of the weaknesses in my masculinity, and it just reacts. So, you know, at first I was really, really resistant to this, and I thought maybe she was just batshit crazy. And I think that I saw that maybe many men think that about women right away because they pick on us or they pick apart our exterior. But I started to see that's really a gift that the feminine women can give us. Is that they really can see the holes in our masculine core, and they can really start to point those out. And what it forced me to do was to get much, much deeper with myself, to dive incredibly deep into whether or not I was truly in line with my deep purpose. And I had to find a new level of self-honesty that in my life up to this point was undiscovered. And I had to really question how truly authentic I was really being. So, I mean, as you can imagine, for the host of a podcast that's about being authentic and about masculinity, that was really tough for me. And it kind of put me up against that wall. I really felt like I couldn't move forward. I really felt like I had sorted through so much already in my life. And I just couldn't believe I was in complete denial that I still had work to do in a lot of these areas. And that leads me into the final pitfall that I'll talk about, which is a hard lesson that I learned, is never assume that you've solved any of your problems. A little bit of humility goes a really, really long way once you take on a self-development path. And a lot of humility will go a much longer way. If you just assume that every challenge you have is multifaceted and multi-layered and multidimensional, you won't be that surprised when it comes to you over and over and over again in completely different forms. So something that I discovered, or at least I discovered a way to put it that I really like, is a process that I like to call beckoning your arch enemy. And this is apparently a process of nature in that you have no control over it. It's consistent, it's universal, it happens to all of us. Basically, what it is that whenever you reach a new plateau of your self-development practice where you think that you've just got something figured out, you send off this invisible beacon high up into the sky. And at that moment, somewhere in the world, and it could be right next to you, it could be down the street, it could be 5,000 miles away, your arch enemy looks up into the sky and they get a little tingly feeling in the back of their neck or their ears start burning or something. And they look up in the sky at that beacon and they start walking that way. And once they start walking, you don't have long until your arch enemy finds you. And your arch enemy can come in the form of a relationship, a romantic relationship, a business relationship, a friendship. It could be an animal. It could be an act of nature like a storm or a flood. It could be a disease. It's just something that comes to you that puts your ass back in check. I think the Hindus have a word for this. They have a deity for this, actually, and his name is Ganesh. I would say that the Buddhists call this interdependent origination, or this might even be some definition of karma, if some of you are familiar with that. And basically, I think whether you believe that the universe has some sort of sentience, or you believe in God, or a higher self, or whatever you want to call it, it always wants you to move forward. It never wants you to stand still. You're not supposed to just accept your station or where you're at right now. You're never supposed to accept that you've got it all figured out. So when you do start to feel like that, it sends your arch enemy to come to you and shake things up. So for me, like I explained before, it came in the way of a new relationship that really tested the depth of my understanding of my own masculine and feminine foundation, as well as my integrity of following and supporting my true life purpose. And I looked back at this and I realized that this has happened to me over and over and over again. Like every time I would train martial arts or get to the gym and I work out and I'd reach some kind of milestone, well, here comes the injury. I'd get injured and it would force me to look deeper into why exactly I was doing this in the first place. And I would have to sit on the sidelines and watch everyone else. And I would have to get deeper into my practice in a different way. But at first, I was always super pissed off about it. I thought, you know, why me? Why is this always happening to me? About a week ago, I was talking to a friend who has a private coaching practice. And he was saying that he had worked so hard and taken so many trainings and done all this stuff to really get to a point where he felt like he was really a master life coach. And as soon as he did that, he said he got the most difficult client that he had ever gotten. That took so much of his energy to push through and to help that person. And I'm sure that each and every one of you can look back on your life and see that there was a time when you really felt like you were up on high and something came over and just humbled you. And I don't say this with any intent of discouraging you. And I really want to make this point because, again, this is really about moving forward. You know, you took on this self-development path. You're listening to this podcast because you chose to take on a self-development path, because you had a better vision of yourself, a more purposeful, more responsible, more harmonious version of yourself. And the way that your higher self, or you could call it your subconscious or God, or however you want to put it, the way that that wants to support you is to keep you on your path and to keep you walking forward. And honestly, you just can't really take any time to stop and revel in your own magnificence, because the only part of us inside, honestly, that really wants to do that, that really wants to congratulate ourselves for being so awesome, is our ego. And we all know whenever we let the ego take the driver's seat, we're in for some serious suffering. So just to recap the four pitfalls that I gave, number one was to recognize that there's always going to be ups and downs. And you're never truly lost. You're never truly stuck. There's always going to be an upswing, no matter what. And sometimes it's simply best to just embrace the feelings of feeling lost and stuck. Use it as an opportunity to take some solitude for yourself or take a breather, and use it as an opportunity to let go of something. And don't forget to just keep on your practices. And it's okay to take a break, I guess, from your practices, even if you're taking a momentary break to just scream at something or just let out some anger or some frustration. That's okay, but then get back on your practices. Number two, never expect an instant result. Just remember that you got to keep at it. All these things are like a sheet of paper on a stack. Eventually, you're going to have a big stack, but right now, you just have to keep at it one step at a time, one day at a time. And remember that you're always going to be gaining new perspectives and new ways to see your problems. So you're going to have a lot of different ways to hone all these self-development tools that you're getting. Number three, your tools are relative to your environment. So what you learn in a book, in a podcast, in a seminar, in a coaching session, it's going to need to be stress tested in life. And that's 100% true all of the time. And number four, just never assume that you've reached the finish line. Don't think that you've solved anything. Remember that the different aspects of the things that you're working through are going to keep coming back to you in different ways. And the more humble you are about it, the easier it's going to be to just keep working through these things. And honestly, sometimes it's just going to be hard, and sometimes it's just going to be a battle. So just embrace it. You know, with every thought that you create, an equal and opposite thought is also created. And that's the way that everything stays in balance. And every time you feel like you won, or every time you feel like you got to a new point in your self-development practice, that's going to birth a whole new challenge. It's going to birth the opposite, an equal challenge, and that's going to come to you to fortify what you're learning. So just, again, assume that you're going to be tested and just try to enjoy the process a little. Just try to laugh about it a little bit more. You know, my partner, as hard as things have been, she kept saying to me, dude, life isn't supposed to be this serious. And there were definitely times where that statement would irk the life out of me. But after a while, it started to make a whole lot of sense. You know, I started to see that you're only ever really battling yourself. And the more you want to win that battle, because you're battling yourself, the more you actually have to defend as well. So if you just accept that you're a lifelong student of life, then you realize that you're always going to be learning. You're always on kind of a beginner level, and that's okay. And life gets a little bit less serious. So I'm going to leave you this time with another little homework assignment. And this is for everyone who feels like they're really stuck, or they're having a lot of challenges, or they're falling into any of these pitfalls. They're having a hard time with their self-development practice. I want you to look at what's going on when you are feeling challenged, when you are feeling like the problems are mounting up, and see if you've taken on any vices. You know, for some people, it's smoking cigarettes or drinking, or for some people, it's just getting on your phone and going on Facebook over and over and over again. I know I've had that problem, like a lot of people. So look at your life and see if there's something that you turn to, some crutch that you use to have to dodge the problems that are going on, or maybe it's just something that makes you feel better, but maybe something that's not so healthy. And what I want you to do is try to install a new healthy habit. So if you are getting pissed off and the first thing you do is pick up your phone and try to look at Facebook or a funny meme or something, or you feel like you have to escape to something like that, try jump on the floor and give yourself 20 push-ups, or run around the block one time. I think that for me, that's a really good way to burn off some energy, burn off some steam, and you're actually doing something good for yourself. So you can come up with a million and one ways to create a new healthy habit, but try doing it every time that urge comes up. If you're going to say, man, I'm pissed and I need to smoke a cigarette, anything like that, do 20 squats, do 20 push-ups, run around the block, do something physical, do something that's going to be good for your body, and see if over time it doesn't help you out a little bit. So again, thank you guys so much. Thanks everyone for writing in and asking questions. And I'm so glad to be back up on the mic and sharing some more with you guys. And I hope to really keep pushing forward with the podcast and giving you guys some more great stuff. So thanks a lot for tuning in, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Very own revolution. I need a revolution. My own revolution. My personal revolution. A bed.
my personal revolution. Baby, I need a revolution. My own revolution, my personal revolution. Hey, I don't like the hypocrisy. Is this democracy? There is no voice for me in your philosophy. Tainted theology. Oh, can you save me? Who can save me? Who can save me? Revolution. Who got the power?
I do.
Who got the say?
I do.
Yeah. Who got the play?
I do.
I will find a way. Who got the power?
I do.
Yeah. To say,
I do.
Who got the play?
I do.
I will find a way. This heartbreak is so hard to take. And then I lay down in the bed that I make, crying tears of change. I'm fighting. My personal revolution. Hey, I need a revolution. My own revolution. A personal revolution.